Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made out with Sheena like 12 years ago in Vegas.
What?
No one even knows that.
No one knows that?
It was so long ago. It was like the most innocuous thing ever. But like, I'm just saying we've all done...
You made out with Sheena when?
I don't know, but it was somewhere in Vegas, that's all.
Pre-Katie?
Me and Katie were dating, but it was like a rocky moment.
False equivalency, I know. But I just wanted to put it out there, let the record show. Just as a reminder, we're all human. We all do dumb shit sometimes. And this is the summer of forgiveness.
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine. With me, Kara Berry, we're talking Vanderpump Rules and taking a little dip into the valley at the end of the episode. So we're going to get into it, but I'm going to tell you guys that this recap is not going to be as formal as of a recap of Vanderpump Rules, because if I were to do it, I would have an aneurysm. I also am like hangry. I haven't had lunch yet, so I would really like to eat. And I just know that I'm just going to be upset if I keep talking longer than I want to. So we're just going to cruise through this, okay? Just real quick. Before we get into the episode, I know some of you guys have heard this a long time, several times this week. But I'm plugging it anyway. I dropped my merch, you guys. You can find it at ebbmmerch.myshopify.com. It is in the episode description. The link is there. You can check it out. I'm proud of it. Thank you guys again for those of you who have already purchased. And yeah, I like it. I like that stuff. So check it out. Let's get into Vanderpump Rules, right? Y'all, I'm just like frustrated with this whole thing. And I feel like I had a revelation. And I needed to, because I, like I said, have just been growing increasingly frustrated and increasingly like there are now just like two different universes that Vanderpump fans live in. I live in one that feels very much steeped into reality. And then there's the other one. And so, that's just where I'm at right now. That's just where I'm at. And so I also had the revelation that, like, for this show and its cast members in particular, that there's very clearly people who are making a show and don't really give a shit about the real life implications. And then there's Katie and Ariana. You know what I mean? So we're just going to talk about that. We start off the episode, James and Hippie are picking out Allie's clothes because apparently he's dressing Allie's very, like, he really is the white Kanye and she is now Kim, okay? James has a DJing gig at Hotel Ziggy. This is going to be setting the scene for most of the issues that happen this episode. Allie invites Joe. They're not friends, never going to be besties, but Allie at the very minimum wants her to feel comfortable around everybody. That's not going to work out, but we'll talk about that in a second. Billy Lee goes over to Sandoval's room to be his very biggest fan. And Ariana's biggest, well, I was going to say Ariana's biggest hater, but actually after this episode, I'm not really sure. She might be like only top five at this point, maybe even top 10. Seems like there are a lot of people running to be in contention for it at this stage of the game, but whatever. So back to Billie Lee. She's like asking Tom with, you know, stars in her eyes, you know, here's the frustration. Like, well, if Ariana hates it so much, if you're so terrible, then why doesn't she move? But are we just like losing the plot fucking completely? He's the one who cheated. In any other situation with us, me and you listening, if you found out your friend's dude cheated on her, fucked somebody else in their house, you would be like, he needs to get the fuck out. I will call U-Haul myself. That would be where the logic is. But apparently Vanderpump Rules, we don't give a shit about that. And that goes for half of the fans. So there's no logic as to why nobody's asking Tom, why don't you move out? Is beyond me. His excuse, even to this day, just seems to be like, well, I love the house and I see my children hanging out there. Okay, well, is that all you got? You built the gym? Okay. What now? Why is nobody asking, like, if you're so miserable, why don't you move? If you're the one who did the bad thing, what, like, they're acting like Ariana's being unreasonable for still 3 months after the fact being upset with Tom. This doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you also, Sandoval, were the one who was like, this relationship is so horrible and I don't see it lasting forever and I'm going to go find greener pastures in some Bambi-eyed bitch. Why didn't you leave the house then? This man wanted to leave the relationship, and he has not really done any of that. He's not left the home. He's not formally left the relationship without completely blowing it up by fucking one of her great friends. But she, because this is misogyny, because we see Ariana seemingly having it all, even though she's not, at this point, had any more TV shows than Tom has. She got Dancing with the Stars. He was also on a show. Nobody wants to talk about this. Except for, like, oh, what he learned. And his journaling. And, you know, he's wearing those headbands now. He also had a show. He also was on tour all summer long. He also has got, he got a podcast. Like, the money opportunities have also come in for him. So why is nobody saying, why don't you move? It's all on her. Why is that? And actually, wasn't he on The Masked Singer and that JoJo Siwa shoulder show? So that's two. And the podcast. And the other opportunities. So this is why I'm confusion. So anyway, Billie Lee is like rolling her eyes like, well, I don't know why she would be here. Like, she's so miserable. Why would she be here? Oh, also, what about my girl? My girl T. Have you seen her? Do you want to hang out with her? Do you love her so much? Do you want to go on a date with her? She's going to be there at the Hotel Ziggy. Is your ex-girlfriend going to be there? Oh, my God. God, ex-girlfriends must be worse than, like, living with your parents as a grown-ass human being. Like, it's so terrible. I hate Ariana. Does she hear me? Am I going to get my check for this? Are you going to hit my Venmo for hitting all my beats, Sandoval? Okay, cool. Bye. It's a real shame, Tom, that you can't, you know, fuck somebody in your primary bedroom like you deserve. Why does she have to be here? Can't she go somewhere else so you can fuck somebody? Because you're king of the castle. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? And then he's back in that fucking Barbara Bush green blazer lying again about how he had this lawyer drop an offer letter to buy Ariana out of the house. And he says, I gave her an offer for the entire amount. But that is so vague. The entire amount of what, Tom? The actual value of the home, the value of the price of what you bought it for, the current price. What, for half of the price, are you buying her out of the whole home as a sweetheart deal for being like, my bad for fucking your friend? Or is it just for her? Like, that is this very vague statements. And those are the things that people latch onto. And they're like, well, he offered to buy her out of the house, but be more specific. Okay? Because nobody wants to hear Ariana when she says in the after show, he did no appraisal on the house. So this number that he just wrote on a piece of paper and emailed to her lawyer means nothing because there was no formal letter of intent. There was no formal offer letter. It was just an informal letter of intent. So, you know, like, nobody wants to hear that. And then even when she comes back with logic, they're like, well, like, y'all don't want to hear that. So I feel crazy. Anyway, Ariana gets a FaceTime with Anne. Anne is, like, zooted. She is having a great time getting ready for the Eras tour. And Ariana's like, girl, I'm going to pop down in 45 minutes downstairs. Do you know if that man is going to be there or not? Because I got stuff to do. And also, things are getting real hectic for me, so I need an assistant. So if you know anybody, let me know. And Anne gets so close in that FaceTime. All you can see is, like, her nose, the top part of her lip, and the top part of her gums. Like, half gum, half tooth. She's like, I want to do it. Can I be in the running, please? And so Ariana's like, yeah, of course. But then she tells her, like, girl, this is probably not going to be a great idea. Like, this is going to get turned around on me and be like, oh, you're poaching my assistant. Like, it's probably not the best idea. And Anne's like, but I want to work for you so bad. And this is why we got to listen to people. Y'all don't want to hear. Y'all want to be like, Ariana's so mean to Anne. But here's Anne. Granted, she is drunk, but she's like whisper begging her to work for her. So is she that horrible? I don't know. Doesn't seem that way. Also, this brings me up to something else. Tom, I guess, said either in a podcast or whatever the fuck that he had pulled strings to get Anne these tickets to the concert. And that also because his dear friend Kyle Chan designed some earrings for one Taylor Swift video that he also got her the same earrings. But Anne says on her podcast that that's not the case. Like, she wasn't even calling him out, I don't think. She was just telling the story about how she had told Sandoval, today I need 3 hours to myself to be able to get these tickets, and how he was understanding. But it doesn't sound like he did any of those things that he claimed that he did. After that, Schwartz and Lala go to some health cafe creation. Schwartz says he's on a 3-day health bender with sobriety right now. He bought a good $80 worth of juice, which is like 3 bottles, you know. And I looked up those syringe shots that he got for him and Lala. Those were $5.70 each for an ounce of juice. It didn't even fill up the syringe. It was like the little tip of the syringe what you got. Imagine what this man is like on an actual bender. Lala starts making some sex jokes and she's like, oh, you know, that's just what happens when I get nervous. But then she asks Schwartz if he's ever had sex sober. And he's like, yeah, of course. Like, when I'm in a relationship, I love having sober sex. And then Schwartz talks about how moderation is king or queen. Thank you for that. It is Women's History Month. He does enjoy the occasional bender, whether it's drugs and alcohol or hardcore sobriety. It's all about moderation, right? But he does like to fall apart, whether it's in a good way or a bad way, just once in a while. Like, Schwartz, what you're referring to is addiction? But okay. The more Lala and Schwartz are talking, it's like watching unlikely animal friends, but not in the cute and cuddly way. Like, this is not a little duckling on the back of a tortoise. This is like a street rat with half its tail and a silverfish. Like, it's... I don't like this, you know? It's creepy, uncomfortable. So Schwartz tries to make this grand point that he does every season about how nobody in this group is innocent. And then he reveals that what nobody knows is that he and Sheena made out 12 years ago in Vegas. And then he does this typical Schwartzy, like, I'm dropping the bomb, and then I'm going to pretend to be like, no, like, it really wasn't a big deal, but, like, I do feel like it should be out there, right? And Lala's like, wait, well, hold up. When did you make out? What's the timeline here? Is this pre-Katie? Schwartz says, we were dating, but, like, it was a rocky moment. So then he fully admits in a confessional, I know that this is a false equivalency, but I need to put this out as a reminder that we're all human. And this is a summer of forgiveness. Okay. So then Schwartz drops another bomb that late last year, he and Sheena were, like, kikiing about it at some holiday party. So that's, like, why this memory got brought up. So now Lala is high on her fucking horse, upset with Sheena, because she says in a confessional, me and Sheena, thick as thieves, we tell everything that's in the vault. And I cannot believe that after all this time, she did not tell me about something that happened years before we even met each other. What Schwartz does is intentionally drop this information because he wants to terrorize Katie once again, try to get his dick hard. And then he does this, oh, what have I done? I probably shouldn't have said that. Okay. So after this, Lala invites Katie over to tell her, one, I hung out with Schwartz. Two, he told me that he made out with Sheena. Katie's in a whirlwind of confusion, mostly wondering, was it this time in 2013 that we saw on the show where they're in the alley of Sir and he's finally admitting after however long of saying that he didn't do anything that he may have made out with somebody? So she's like, I really can't remember another time where Schwartz would have been in Vegas with Sheena, but not me. So Katie's asking all these questions, but Lala doesn't have any answers for her because in a confessional, she says she was going back and forth in her mind as to who to tell this to first, whether she's going to tell Katie or Sheena. And she decided that she was going to tell Katie first because she didn't want Sheena to have any time to clean up her story or anything like this. Y'all see what I mean when I say Lala is a friend to absolutely nobody. Nobody. Like, it seems like she's trying to be a friend to Katie, but she's not being a friend to Sheena and allowing Sheena to have this conversation with Katie. You're coming to this story with Katie with really no information, which gives her all the room in the world to have her mind swirl as to when the fuck this would have been. Anytime between 2013 and 2009. When was it? What were the circumstances? And now Katie's going to be probably more upset than she needs to be over this situation because her friend just wanted to, like, drop a fucking bomb. You're actually not being a friend to either one of them. Oops.
Now we get to the Hotel Ziggy, and Joe's there, honking in a hat.
Sheena's doing mean girl vibes more than we would expect from Sheena Shea. This is the Sheena that I love the best, not the mean girl stuff, but specifically her telling everybody that she dressed in a wacky print dress that she thought would go with Hotel Ziggy's aesthetic so that she can make duck faces and do peace signs, you know, for her social media. That's the Sheena I would like to see more of, okay? Sandoval's dressed like a CEO trying to be cool at, like, his annual conference. Like, he's wearing the branded hat. Is he being paid by Aloe? Or what's going on here? Because it seems to be all he's wearing. He's got a tan Easter blazer, the Obama Easter blazer. It's a look. He looks over and sees Ariana looking like a snack, okay, and says as much. But then he's also like, I want to have a conversation with her about the house. So then he's talking to Brock, right? And he's like, oh, mate, we all want to see you two figure it out. It's like, Brock seems to think that he is daddy of Vanderpump Rules. And I would just like to tell him that's not the case. Please, no. Back to Mean Girl Sheena. Schwartz is walking around with Joseph. He keeps calling her that. Y'all remember what I said? I feel I forgot. Like, I said that if a guy who you fucked is going around
now suddenly giving you some masculine nickname, 99% of the time he doesn't want to fuck you, and you should take that hint. So if you're like Michelle and he's calling you Michael, hey Mike, you know, like, he doesn't want to fuck you anymore, don't do it. He'll still do it. Don't take the fact that he'll still do it as a sign that he wants to. It just means that he's doing it. So you gotta stop, okay? So anyway, Schwartz is lopping around calling her Joseph, and Sheena's like, why are Joe and Schwartz acting like they're not dating? Like, obviously they are. Sheena says in a confessional, there's a reason why I don't like Joe. She literally drove down with Raquel to meet the Thompson Big Bear and then left Raquel with Sandoval in Big Bear. Like, it was a homie hang. Like, bitch, you knew. Which, fine, except for you want to be friends with Sandoval, so why do you care so much? Like, if we got to make one thing not make sense, we got to make all of it not make sense. Like, you might as well not be mad at Joe because you aren't mad at Sandoval. Like, you actively want to be friends with him, so it's giving what Katie said about you being, like, very interested in male acceptance a lot of credence, because this actually doesn't make sense for a couple of reasons. Like, it doesn't make sense why you want to be friends with Sandoval, but, like, if you do, then it also doesn't make sense that you're still mad at Joe. You know what I mean? So then Sheena notices that, well, it does seem to appear as though Joe has run a brush and a comb through her hair and has done, you know, a pretty decent little two little braids. I don't know what kind of braids you call those, but the hair looks fine. Except she's got this Tom hat on that she's wearing. And
how would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
You'll have to excuse me because it just kind of occurred to me who Joe reminded me of. I think the character in West Side Story is anybody's. They're like the tomboy character that's like with the Jets. It's like, hey, why don't you let me scrap too? It's like always dirty, got like dirt on her face. Like, why? What? Come on, Joe. Let me get in there. They're like, get out of here. That's what Joe is. That's who Joe is. Let me scrap, boys. But let me stop before she says that I'm bullying her, too. So Sheena looks at her and is like, take your hat off, girl. Like, aren't you a hairstylist? Everything that America has been screaming at her since the two episodes that she's been on. You're a hairstylist. You got this decent work for once. Show it off. Stop playing yourself, right? So they take the hat from Joe. They're like trying to hide it from her behind the bar. She's taking it. She's like, no, I like the hat. And you know, she's like, this is the only one I could find. And Sheena goes, how many Tom hats do you have? And she starts laughing. And I will say, like, this wasn't nice. I would say this behavior is definitively not nice. Anything else that any other smoke that Joe gets at this point, that's on her. I'm hopping off the train at this part, babe. But she does say in a confessional, I've gotten a lot of hate from the girls and it's 100% bullying and it's horrible. So now Billy Lee is sitting with Joe and some other person, and, you know, all the Vanderpump girls are at the bar, and then they eventually go to the other side and store. So it really is like West Side Story. It's like Sharks and Jets at Hotel Ziggy. Billy Lee tries to mention, she's looking at all the other girls, all the pump girls, and being like, they're mean mugging us. They're being so mean. And then I had to laugh because Katie was at the bar calling Joe rat girl. But, like, honestly, they cut to Joe, who was, like making rat faces. Like, the faces she was making were rat-like in nature. The rat jumped out. I can't help that. That's just the truth. So then Joe says in a confessional that all of these girls have been so mean to her and how those things don't go away. Like, you know, they say them on TV or on social media or whatever, and that's forever, right? And to insinuate that she is a crackhead is actually really hurtful and harmful to anybody who has ADD. So now we see Joe sitting by the pool with her fingers in her ears. Like, la 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 la, like, I'm not here. By the way, Billy Lee doesn't give a fuck. She's like, kikiing, like, having a great time. Like, Joe's having a breakdown. And she's like, you good, girl? Okay, anyway. So Allie tells the girls, when I hung out with Joe, I asked her if she had any sort of feelings for Schwartz. And she's like, yeah, I do, like my dad. And everybody's like, what? And so Ariana asks the million-dollar question, does she fuck her dad? But Allie tells him, like, you know, I really tried to come in peace. And Ariana just shakes her head. And she goes, I was that girl a year ago. Just warning you. You in danger, girl. So then Ariana says in a confessional, before anybody starts a boo-hoo over how Joe has been treated by any one of us, just know that Joe is a full-on mean girl bully who did not give a flying fuck about spending Thanksgiving with me in my home while knowing that her mutual friend was fucking my boyfriend in my house. And it's not bullying for me to point that out. She's right. I mean, we have to remember, like, look at the history. Joe was gleefully, like, Rachel's best friend during all of this, knowing that Sandoval was cheating and she was, like, trying to fuck Schwartz and living in her happy little bubble, totally co-signing this shit on the low while being friends and, you know, sharing turkey, I guess, with Ariana and smiling in her face, you know? Rude. So after that, Allie tries to tell the girls, like, I just wanted Joe to know that if she were to come to our events, she doesn't need to feel uncomfortable. And Katie's like, oh, I want her to feel uncomfortable. Like, if she feels uncomfortable, I'm actually thrilled about it. So after that, Joe goes into the bathroom to, like, cry, I guess, and say she hates it. And Schwartz is like, Joseph, Joseph, what's wrong? After that, Lala, Katie, Ariana are sitting together by the pool. Lala tells them about Sheena and Schwartz making out in Vegas, right? Ariana's trying to figure out the timeline of the two. Is like, wait, I made out with Sheena in Vegas. Was that the same time? They can't even really get into that because Tom comes over, heart in hand, matching lightning bolt earring and necklace. Like, hey, Ariana, like, you know, even though we haven't spoken since we were on the reunion stage and I was fake crying about how sorry I was and then going into that trailer 100 yards from Sheena and saying, like, we didn't do anything wrong. I was just wondering, like, did you get that email that I sent you a few months ago about a legal matter between us? Because, you know, a poolside where our friend's DJing seems like the perfect time to bring that up on camera. And I'm also going to pitch this in a way that makes it seem like you're, like, the bad guy who has lost the plot and really dropped the ball here and be like, you know, this was, like, several months ago that I brought this up. And, you know, like, I really want to get things moving, but, you know, I can't because you're not responding, bro. And, you know, like, I really would appreciate it if you could say something. And so she's blanking the fuck out of him. It's like, my lawyer has it. My lawyer will respond to you. Like, not doing this with you, right? Lala, I have a feeling that maybe Lala didn't, start taking dance lessons, but I think the after effects of Ariana booking Dancing with the Stars might be hitting her too. Cause she's like in a confessional, like, oh, you know, see, this is what I don't understand. Like, you know, it's fucking weird. She's taking a long time to get out of this house. The brand deals are endless at this point. Like, trust me, you're doing just fine. You can afford an apartment. You actually don't know that. Like, also, like, why does she have to move out? Why does she have to move out? All he has to do is lean over and be like, hey. And then everybody's like, well, she has everything. Fuck her. Like, this is so weird to me. This is very weird. And I'm really, like, I'm genuinely trying to get the other side, and I just don't. I just don't. Okay? I don't. So then we have Sandoval, like, we have to watch him have this, like, oh, I'm gonna be going out there and, like, having first dates. I'm really nervous, but I think I can do it, bro. Like, who gives a fuck? Who cares? Katie takes Sheena aside to tell her, like, hey, girl, Lala told me that you made out with my ex-husband. What's going on there? And Sheena's like, did Schwartz tell you that? She was really trying to cover all her bases. Like, maybe Lala was onto something. But Sheena says to her, she was there in Vegas with Ariana. They were there with her mom at her sister's high school cheer competition or something. Why Schwartz was there, we don't know. But he takes her into a corner to kiss her, like, at a high school cheerleading competition? Or where was this? Katie asks, when was this? And she's like, I think that maybe Shay and I were just engaged. So this is, like, another flashback to she and Shay got engaged in 2013. So the timeline that Katie's thinking of does line up with this, right? So Sheena tells her, we did not make out. He tried to kiss me. That was it. Who I actually made out with on that trip was Ariana. But then Sheena says in a confessional, she just wanted to pretend like this whole thing never happened. Like, she never told her mom. She never told Shay. Nobody. Definitely not Katie, because this was peak Tequila Katie time. Like, she hated her, and she wasn't going to be like, hey, your man tried to kiss me on top of that. You know? You know, fair enough. Like, Sheena had a lot of smoke on her for no reason. I could get in this moment being like, I don't. Like, you already hate me. I'm good, you know? So Sheena tells Katie, I just didn't want to bring it up because I didn't want to blow up your spot, my spot, whatever. It was in the past, but Katie's like, yeah, but it kind of sounds like it was brought up recently and that you were, like, joking about it, right? So Sheena says, I don't think it was a joke, but if I did say it, I was just like, oh, Tom, you're a makeout slut. Exhibit A, right? You tried with me, right? So Katie's like, listen, I know Schwartz has probably made out with, like, a million girls, right? But you were a bridesmaid in my wedding. I was a very broken person with no self-confidence or self-worth. And Sheena's like, yeah, that's also a reason why I didn't say anything. I wanted you two to, like, have your happily ever after and work out. You already had enough to fight against. Let's be real. After this, Lala goes out with Schwartz and James and Sandoval. Unlikely animal friends. Lala asks Schwartz about his relationship with Joe. He's lying about how they're just, like, siblings. Just like me and you, Lala, except we haven't had sex yet. Lauren says, Schwartz, I would break your dick in half. And I don't believe that for a second. I really don't. Sandoval comes late because he just, like, mumbles something about air conditioning, had to go into Ariana's room, the dogs ate something weird. He didn't really want to talk about it, right? I just don't like this energy, okay, of him talking about, like, Maya eating things, how she had gotten into laxative pills once and hair dye and blah, blah, blah. Again, like, we're not telling the whole story. How much of these incidents were your fault, you know? Like, we have to meet dogs halfway. Not all dogs can be trained into perfection. And I really don't want to be, like, an Ariana apologist. But I'm saying, like, I don't trust this dude. So if you're saying she's gotten into random shit, I want to know how many of this stuff is, like, you laying out. Like, you have to understand. And if your dog gets into stuff and tends to eat stuff that they shouldn't be eating, then you need to set the protocols to make sure that that doesn't happen. So my question would be, like, you're putting off these incidents, and what's making the alarm bells ring for me is him being like, you know, I know that Ariana's mad at me, like, for whatever, but, like, this was an accident. And I just, it just feels like, okay, yeah, it's an accident, but it's, like, negligence. And again, how many of these accidents are your fault? So Lala decides to invite Sandoval to some, like, curated water experience she's going to have in a couple days. And then she says, you know, even though I completely understand why Ariana acted the way she did when you approached her, I also understand what it's like to have people hold you hostage for a version or what they think their version of you is in the past. And I'm like, okay, here's where we truly lost the plot. She got cheated on. She just found out she got cheated on 3 months ago.
And you're now, oh, I was America's biggest whore for years and nobody wants to let it go. So, Sandoval, I can empathize with you, man who is still being a total fuckboy when he got exposed for cheating 3 months ago. Like, what are we talking? 5 months ago at this point. You know, whatever. This is not like 7 years down the line. They're still sharing bathrooms together. And, you know, like Ariana's putting Legos on the floor so he hurts himself and he gets his gel polish all fucked up. Like, this has been 5 months. And also, I am so tired, like legitimately tired of Lala using this fucked up, I get it, experience with Randall to filter everything that happens to her and other people to like view the lens with, like, I can't deal with this anymore. I want to have fun. I'm not having fun. I want to have fun. And so after this, like, Sandoval invites her over to the house so he could, like, scream with some dude who refers to himself as a lifestyle and performance specialist, whatever that means. Did he need to breathe like that? Like, if somebody told me breathe in and out, I would be like, not, like, what was that? Do y'all remember that episode of Sex and the City where Charlotte was fucking the guy and he fell asleep while he was inside of her? And so she was like, I need to, you know, like, figure it out. Figure out how to make a man, you know, stay awake in the bedroom. And so she takes all the girls to this apartment so this married team can, basically, she, like, shows the girls how to jerk off her husband, okay? And Miranda ends up getting some jerk in her bang. You know, it's quite an episode, like season two or three. Anyway, it was giving that. Like, he's on the floor, like, and then he's screaming, like, what the fuck was that? Lala's standing there in, like, a poncho and some heels or something. Like, what the hell's going on? It's just a lot, right? Basically, this then turns into Lala telling Sandoval that she actually doesn't really give a fuck about what happened with Ariana. She's just so mad at him because she views every straight man, again, say it with me, through the lens of her experience with Randall. And she's so sorry for that. And you know what? It's not what you did last year. It's everything. Like, everything what? He actually didn't really do much to you. You're, like I said, you're mad at him. Okay, you're like, okay, I don't care what you did with Ariana. I'm mad at previous things, but he really didn't do too much to you previously. So actually, you're just mad at him because he's a man, because of Randall. And so this is why you're friends. So, like, okay, girl. And then it's like shade fest because Katie and Ariana have everybody over to Something About Her to try sandwiches. Again, listen, I get it. Where are the sandwiches? Where's the shop? Why is it open? Who is her? Is Something About Her the fact that she's not opening ever? Like, I get it, girl. Who's to say? But then all the shade from Lala and the confessional about, like, I've had this sandwich before. Why are we doing this again? Where are we doing this? Fast forward. Let's just fast forward this. So they do this, like, you know, TiVo. Who has TiVo these days, girl? Come on. DVR fast forward. And then she's like, hold on, there is, like, one scene. Why they let Lala be, like, the comic? Oh, like, I'm really sick of her. Patience is a virtue, Kara, okay? She does get to the funny moment where everybody's trying the sandwiches and Schwartz suggests that they have, like, a hangover cure, sloppy, you know, protein, meat sandwich, right? And James says, oh, he wants a man, which we all know he loves a sloppy Joe. I'm not laughing at him. I'm not gonna laugh. Afterwards, they take their sandwiches. They're like going all the way up whatever street is on West Hollywood with this tea cake tray of sandwiches. Just pass it out to everybody like Willy Wonka, you know. Who can make the sunrise? Sprinkle it with balsamic or whatever. Candyman can.
I want to be done with this. So basically after that, they go over to Sarah, right? They're talking to Lisa and Ken. Ken looks like he needed to be powered up. Like, y'all need to put him on the charger, because he was like, why are we doing this again? I don't want to be here. How do they not have, like, an electric charging port in West Hollywood for Ken? Like, at this point, you would think. Anyway, Schwartz walks up, and Katie's now, like, you know, she's already talked to both Sheena and Schwartz about the kiss, but she's still got some energy. She's still got some bass in her chest for Schwartz. She's like, oh, look at you, man, who had it so good with me. And then you fucked it up for Sloppy Joe. Look at what you're left with. And now Schwartz is like, oh, no, time out, abort. Like, I don't want to talk about this, blah, blah, blah. Also, sorry, before that, Lala's talking to Ariana's like, oh, hey, girl, I was at your house earlier, by the way. And I didn't tell you that because I had also hung out with your ex, like, yesterday, too. Blah, blah, blah. And so Ariana has to be like, yeah, the reason why I wasn't at the house earlier today is because what had happened was, you know, Tom told you that Maya got into some weird stuff. What happened was he had actually let her into my bedroom that had food in it, locked her in it for hours, leaving her to find the chicken satay that had skewers in it. So she ate all the wood, the bamboo sticks and the chicken, the whole thing. So she had to rush her to the hospital to get all this shit taken out. And, you know, $6,000 later, thank God Maya's okay. She says, this is what I'm saying. Like, this is another reason why I don't trust this man. And again, this turns into Ariana's responsibility. And, well, why don't you leave? It's her responsibility for leaving food out. Well, she didn't leave food out. She left it in a room whose door was locked. And then a dog was put in that room and then left in the room unsupervised for hours. I've seen a lot of people say that this situation is 100% Ariana's fault. And I'm not understanding how, like, even if you don't like her, how can you say that? Like, I am a dog sitter. If I leave food out, if I go into a room where the owner has left food out, and then I lock the dog in that room, I don't care, like, the most well-behaved dog most likely is gonna see what's going on in that box, right? Let's see what's good. If they're left to their own devices for hours, that's just the nature of it. I would be responsible for that. That's me. Because I opened the door. I left the dog unattended. I was responsible for that. And you're saying, well, if she wasn't living with him, that wouldn't happen. Okay, yeah. But that doesn't make it her fault. You know? It's like saying if this person wasn't Sandoval, y'all wouldn't have this opinion. And that's why I want you guys to really think about that, you know? And again, I have to ask, what has Thomas George Floyd Sandoval said it about anything that has been redeemable? You'll see how I'd stumbled over my words because I got nervous that y'all weren't going to remember that Tom Schwartz compared himself to George Floyd. I would never fucking do that. He did that like a couple months ago. So again, I ask, what about his behavior has been at all attractive or redeemable or I want to run to you worthy? What is it about him is so interesting? And that's where I had my revelation of like, okay, you guys are thinking in the world of reality TV. And then it made me think about back to that magazine article where he compared himself to George Floyd. Later in that article, the author talks about how Tom is so in reality TV mode that if things happen, like they were doing the interview and a plane flew over them, he stopped talking because in his reality TV mind, they have to stop talking so they have clean audio, right? But he's just having a normal conversation with somebody, still thinking about the clean audio that doesn't need to happen because this is a human interaction that you're having, not on television, right? And it made me think, like, okay, there's this, like, reality TV galaxy brain that happens that is happening currently with Sheena and Lala. Like, they're in the world of, like, we have to keep the show going, and the only way to do that is to cause discord. And they've also been clearly, like, reading the room and the temperature on social media and seeing the wave of people being like, I'm tired of Ariana. Why does she get everything? I don't like her. And like, oh, we need to move this way because it's going to be a good look for us. And it's not really working. Feels like with every episode, the tide is turning more and more. Uh-oh. Oops. Oopsie. And, you know, with regard to the reunion, I don't know that this campaign that Lala's been on recently where she's been, like, dropping hints about this blind item of Ariana allegedly eviscerating her at the reunion and how it was relationship ending. And she does say part of that was true. And she heavily hints that the part of that was true was that it was relationship ending. I don't think Ariana eviscerated her at all. And now with this announcement that she's going to be hosting Love Island, I think we're on our final leg of Ariana on Vanderpump Rules. You know, I think that's a pretty wise prediction that I can make. I don't think she eviscerated her. I think she's probably over it. Over the whole thing. So, And my prediction is that what's going to happen to Vanderpump next season, however many they have left, is going to be like what happened in those couple seasons when the ladies of Beverly Hills kicked out Vanderpump. And I said, y'all may not like Vanderpump. And I get that. Like, I'm not a Vanderpump stan by any means. Take her or leave her, frankly. But they were so hot on her pussy to kick her out. And I said, y'all are like so into like Lisa as the villain and the enemy, and we got to get her out. So what's going to happen in the next couple seasons is y'all are going to look around and be like, oh, what now? And then it's going to be some bullshit. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And then Lisa Rinna got to run rampant. And then what's going to happen is Ariana's going to leave, maybe even Katie. And then what we're going to get is Lala being like, oh my God, who's that woman? Ursula coming up out of the ocean like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And it's going to be, chaos is going to reign. And it's not going to be fun. I'm going to tell you guys, it's not going to be enjoyable. And you're going to be like, oh, this show fucking sucks. And you guys talking for years about how it sucked? You're going to be begging for that lizard funeral. Begging for it back. You heard it for here first. So anyway, let me wrap this up. Okay, Schwartz talked to Brock about how basically he had this tendency in his relationship with Katie to feel some type of way about her, whatever he perceived her to be cutting him down, disenfranchising him, pissing him off in some way, making him look bad. And he would just run and fuck somebody. We're saying make out, but he used to be a make out slut. Okay, sure, let's just say that, right? And how that was probably a bad idea, and he maybe should apologize to her. And Brock's like, oh no, fuck that. Because let me tell you, Sheena was on location last night. And so Katie left with your boy, Max. Max, the one who also got kicked off for saying the N-word. Being just a general fucking weirdo. It was like weird. Both of those guys were like, you guys are racist, actually. We look at your Twitter. Bye. So yeah, she fucked that one. Whichever, it doesn't matter who. It really doesn't matter who. Max. But doesn't matter who? No, it doesn't. Sandoval brings that woman tea to this soiree, wherever they are. Ariana meets her up by the bar. And is like, how old are you? And T goes, 25. She goes, that makes sense. I'm sure you've been given a very different version of reality, but don't waste your time with a 41-year-old narcissist. And then she tells her, we're just like dropped into this conversation because it goes somewhere else. And then we come back to her being like telling T all about how Tom and Rachel were fucking in her bed while she was at her grandma's funeral, and goes, You're the prize, okay? He's not the prize. You are. And T looks at her and goes, you're so strong. So then Sheena gets upset because she now knows that Brock told Schwartz about finding Max's location at Katie's place and how she also looked again that morning and he was still there. And she was like, I don't think they live in the same apartment building. Interesting. So now she's just like sitting there pouting and everybody's like, Sheena, what's wrong with you? And so Brock has to come up and be like, oh, well, Sheena found out, you know, that Katie and Max were fucking last night. And Katie's like, excuse me? Everybody's so confused because, like, you could tell generally, they were like, Max, the one that we know? You fucked him? Like, they really were like, huh? This was a genuine surprise. And so now, Katie's like, what's the deal, Brock? What's the deal? He's like, no, there's no deal. I was just letting him know that his friend was at his ex-wife's house because he got his ass ran for, like, you know, you told him not to keep it in the friend group, but, like, you, or just with his best friend. And then Lala says in a confessional, I don't recognize this version of Katie. I know it doesn't, like, she doesn't do revenge fucks. She just talks about them. She doesn't actually go and do it. So then Brock makes a point and then misses it, skips right over the point that he made. If my friend slept with my ex-wife, I would headbutt him. Let's just roll that beautiful bean footage back. When Katie told him over and over and over again last year, 2 years ago, how long ever, just please don't fuck any of people in the friend group, aka people on the show. And what did he do? Just don't hook up with people. And as soon as she didn't want to trim his armpit hairs in Mexico, he was like, well, fuck you, girl. I'm going to make out with Rachel twice, right in front of you, in front of everybody. Now, years later, she fucks his friend. That's on Max. Max is his boy, not her. The divorce papers are signed. You already blew through that agreement. Game over. There's no more agreement. Sorry, I can do whatever the fuck I want. She can fuck Max, right? Fuck that racist man, right on camera. And I would be like, you know, I don't love the person, but the actions, go for it, you know? The fact that now we want to wave the flag of fidelity because Katie, who was divorced, hooked up with Schwartz's friend. Now, one time Katie fucks up, and I wouldn't even call it that. And now, where are we? Can't we think about that? What about Schwartz? This is so wild. And I'm really, like, running back my head of Andy Cohen saying that he watched the last episodes of the season and that Lala comes out as the voice of reason. And I'm like, again, what planet am I on? I love to know if I'm wrong. I just don't feel that way. And that's hard for me. I'm never wrong. But, like, theoretically, if it were to happen, I would like to know. And just because I don't feel like I am wrong doesn't leave room for the possibility. There is a possibility. I just don't think it's happening now. And I feel very strongly about that. So, I don't know. Anyway, let's move on to take a dip in the valley.
I guess what I was trying to figure out was, like, why are my guy friends saying, I don't really trust your decision for your own life, Kristen.
I don't understand why Jax brought up my most recent ex, Alex. I sold my house. I moved in with him. He was the realtor. And we broke up 7 times until he kicked me out and sold all my furniture that he wrote on.
All right, let's take a little dip in the valley. A short one, okay? Real quick. One, the story with Kristen's ex-boyfriend, Alex, who we never met, went from worse to worser from this episode compared to last episode. When we find out that not only did he convince her to sell her house, he was the realtor behind it, sold all the furniture that he wrote off from her house. And this comes out when Jax, who has known Kristen for almost 20 years at this point, takes her out to eat at a steakhouse, knowing that she's a vegetarian. So then he goes on to tell her,
I can spot a Kristen Doty mistake from a mile away. Okay, well, you couldn't spot her dietary restrictions. So, you know, moving on to Jesse and his wife, Michelle, that they fucking hate each other. He tries to make a point on Michelle by saying, like, they have different parenting styles because she speaks to their daughter, Isabella, lovingly, whereas he will just scream at her. And he feels like that's much more effective and makes him the better parent because he says that Isabella will listen to him.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yikes. Kristen then tells her boyfriend about how Jesse pulled her nipple back after she did it first. And so he gets pissed off. And she's like, you know, Luke, it's so hot when you do this. moving on. I just feel like we've got a pretty good look at what it was like to be in Jackson Brittany's household at any given moment after their kid was born. Because it's just a quick blink and you miss it scene. But Cruz is, like, screaming because he went under the couch and got stuck under it or something in the front room. So he's screaming. Jax is just sitting on the couch, like, head in his hands, like, oh, God, another day being a husband to this dumb bitch, Brittany, who can't take care of our child. Meanwhile, he's not moving, not one inch, to see why his son is screaming in the other room. So Brittany's mama has to go, and then Brittany, who's doing something else, has to go, like, behind her and be like, what's wrong with him? And, you know, scoop him out from under the couch. Like, Cruz was totally fine, but, again, Jax is performative. I'm so busy being a husband and father and making sure Cruz, sweet precious Cruz, has sunscreen on when we go to Janet's house. I see right through it, okay? Like, I just don't believe it. It would be funny if there wasn't a child involved. But alas. Anyway. Turns out that Nia, the one who cried last week when her husband got pantsed by Jax, is a black belt in jiu-jitsu and tells us that she was Miss USA doing one of Donald Trump's little pageants, right? He would have all of his weird little friends come to their rehearsals and watch the girls, you know, and one guy tried to touch her and she twisted his wrist and was like, don't ever do that to me again. Honestly, like, girl, why didn't you just do that to Jax? Like, no shade. I'm not putting the onus on you. I'm just saying, if you got the skill, girl, utilize it, you know? Nipplegate comes up again later in the episode while Jesse and Jax and Jason are playing street hockey. Jesse says that he does not remember tweaking anybody's nipples. Jason, who's Janet's husband, says in a confessional, the lawyer, you know, even though I do feel like Kristen touches nipple first, Jesse doing it back was elevating the situation. But I also have sensitive nipples, so I wouldn't like that. Well, that was Jason, not me. Just for the record. Jax goes on to say that he thinks that Kristen could possibly just be making Nipplegate up entirely. And then he says that, I don't know how this man's logic works. Kristen told him, stop playing with me, take my relationship seriously, stop acting like I'm a child, and accept my boyfriend into the friend group. So he decides that he just can't be bothered with all of the boyfriends that Kristen has and ending friendships with them whenever they break up. And so his decision to remedy the situation, I'm not even sure what the situation is, nor it definitely does not need remedying this way. He basically says that he's going to invite Luke and Alex, the
current and ex-boyfriends of Kristen to talk because this is getting too difficult for him. So at guys' night at this place called like Two-Bit Clown or something, I don't know, whatever the name of that place was, it was apropos for the clientele that we saw. Two-Bit Weirdo or whatever it was called. It's like a sports place? I don't know. But it's also like an arcade, like an adult arcade kind of vibe. So then we get to Jax's guys' night, right? Luke uses this moment to confront Jesse about grabbing Kristen's nipple. And to be fair, Luke really does lay it out for him in a very correct way. Because Jesse is a very, like, oh, I don't, like, amnesia. I don't remember. Very, like, you know, if I did it, I don't know if it happened, but if it did, I'm really sorry, you know? And Luke has to be like, no, it happened because Kristen told me it happened, and I believe her because it happened to her. So, not only do you need to have this conversation with me, you need to apologize to Kristen. And Jesse's sitting there, standing there, really, looking like a dummy. You know, like, in this bar, I don't know, like, no shade, but there's just something very sad about a group of men over 40 at an arcade-themed bar. Jesse's got a backwards hat. It's not just backwards, it's backwards and sideways. Like, how do you do, fellow kids? Ordering Classe Azul shots out of plastic cups. Like, it's just something, like, listen, I like a top shelf moment more than anybody, but you gotta kind of, like, be where you are when in Rome, right? I'm not ordering Classe Azul at an arcade themed bar in the middle of, like, Hollywood. Like, it just doesn't really make sense. When you're there, you're gonna order, like, fucking beers and shots of something middle shelf. You know what I mean? It's just sad. Like, if I were to look at them, like, trying to relive their glory days by having top shelf tequila at, like, a 9 o'clock happy hour, it's just like, ew, ew. Like, Jesse ordered a skinny margarita and then a side of Classe Azul, a shot. Like, ew. But that's not my man, and thank God for that, right? So even though, like, Luke is breaking it down for Jesse, right? He's sitting there like a dummy in his backwards hat. They ask Jesse in a confessional if he's at all intimidated by Luke. And he's like, that's like asking a panther if he's afraid of a kitten. Okay, girl. So while Luke and Jesse are talking, Jax tells Dan? I don't know, that Alex is on his way. And like I said, he's telling Danny the reasoning that he's invited Alex, the ex-boyfriend, is because he's still friends with all of Kristen's... No, sorry. He says, I'm still friends with all of my exes that I've slept with, which is not true because we know that you are not talking to Stassi and that you haven't been for years. So that's a lie, sir. Another big tell in the relationship between Jax and Brittany is that while they're having guys' night, the girls are, the wives and Zach are having a girls' night, right? Brittany tells lies, really. She tells Nia, you know, Mrs. Pants, you know, Jax is really sorry. Like, when he found out that you were crying, he was heartbroken. No, he wasn't. Brittany, no, he was not. And don't even say that. Not any bit of what you just said is part of Jax's character. And it's not okay, but it's okay. Like, just don't lie to me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Jax has never been heartbroken about a goddamn thing. Okay? Least of all, some woman he does not, probably doesn't even know Nia's name, crying because he played a prank on her husband. He does not give a fuck. Like, don't even sell the dream of that. I know that you would like Jax to be heartbroken because that's the kind of husband that you want, but that's not the reality and everybody knows it. So don't even bother telling the lie, you know? Don't even bother. It would be like Robin from Potomac being like, oh, guess why Juan isn't here? He's got a job. You're like, girl, we know that's not true. He just don't want to be there because he doesn't like you, ma'am. So let's tell the truth. Like, just don't lie to us and yourself, you know? Don't lie to yourself. So after that, we go back to guys' night. And at this point, Luke still does not know that Alex is on his way. So then Luke... The way he looks at Jax when Jax tells him, like, oh, you know, I invited my very dear friend Alex, really made me scream. Because, you know, Luke does not see this behavior on his 75 acres in Colorado. He's like, what? Excuse me? So Luke is like really laying into Jax while Alex walks in looking like some bunk version of Jonah Hill. Like, he really thinks that he's got this shit on and he's pulling this outfit on, and he's not. He's not. And then Jax does his best, like, oh, Alex just walked in. I think I fucked up. Like, did I do that? Like, girl, please. Back to girls' night. Brittany's telling Kristen, like, hey, Kristen, I don't want to surprise you, but I do think Alex is going to be at guys' night. And honestly, Kristen's reaction was very similar to Luke's. Very surprising, because frankly, we've seen Kristen pop the fuck off way harder for much less than this. Kristen is in a confessional saying that she started dating Alex when she was still on Vanderpump Rules. And then, you know, once shit hit the fan because she accused a black woman of being a different black woman because she was mad at her. Anyway, Alex then started treating her like a flop. And she's like, you know, he acted like I was some washed up reality TV loser and treated me as such. So Brittany tries to get off on the technicality that, like, we're respecting the fact that Kristen doesn't want Alex around her, but it shouldn't matter if it's just Luke. Okay, girl. Okay, interesting. So then Jax is over at Guy's Night using his little platform to humiliate Kristen, basically, to be like, hey, Alex, didn't Kristen live with you for free for like 6 months? And didn't you help her sell her house? And Alex is like, yeah, I didn't take any fees for selling the house. And yeah, she did live with me for 6 months for free and blah, blah, blah. And Jax is like, oh, wow. And Jax says, didn't you give her money? No, weren't you paying her mortgage for a while? And he's like, well, I did give her a lot of money. And Jax is like, see, this is the thing, that Kristen omits some information. So, you know, like, we don't know the whole story. Like, this is so gross. This is so gross. And that's what I'm saying. Like, why does he need to go so hard in the paint over Kristen and her life choices and feeling so much, like, superiority over her, unless in the deep crevices of his mind, he really just wants to take her and fuck the shit out of her and live like the happiest life? Like, I just can't make any sense of it unless he really, like, the hatred is from love and he's confusing the two. That's my theory. I know I put it out there. And I've seen a lot of people saying, they're not giving me credit, but they are saying that, oh, I don't agree, but it's just giving. And I know that, like, he clearly has this, like, thing where he feels better than people. Like, I get that. But he's so invested in her life in a way that is very weird. Very weird. So the episode ends very strangely back at girls' night. Kristen and Brittany are getting into it over whether Alex should be nowhere in Kristen's sight, even with Luke, or he should just only not be there at events that Kristen is going to. So they're getting into it, and then you think the episode's going to be over, and it says 5 minutes later, and apparently Kristen reveals something, because now it's just chaos. Zach is in the kitchen screaming, I didn't do that. I never said that. People are yelling at Kristen. It's just chaos. Chaos in the valley. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. Thank me for speaking. Check out the merch. It's in the link in the episode description. Love you. Bye.